Hello and welcome to the Daily Soap Podcast with me, Susan Spence, here on thedailygoss.com. Tuesday, 23rd December, we're nearly there at the big day. And let me tell you, we're going to have a double whammy today for the podcast and a double whammy tomorrow. By that, I mean that today we're going to cover tonight's soaps, Tuesday, and also Christmas Eve soaps, because we've got all three on Christmas Eve, which is unusual. And then, of course, we've got Christmas Day and Boxing Day to get through. So two today and two tomorrow to keep you going throughout the week here on the Daily Soap Podcast. Before we do that, let's unveil behind number 23. It is a snowman. Nice. We kind of know what tomorrow's is going to be, don't we? But anyway, we'll cover that tomorrow. Let's get on then, because we've got a lot to cover. Emmerdale then for tonight is an hour long from 7pm on ITV1. And Carl and Lexi, not getting on at all. It turns out that he forgot to collect his mum's jewellery box from the safe in Home Farm. He says to the security guard, listen, can I go in and get it? And he says no. So what he does, he gets together with Chaz, who helps him, along with Katie. And they distract the security guard. He goes in, gets the box, and all's great. And the two of them, Carl and Chaz, end up having a bit of a snog. They don't realise, though, that Aaron has actually seen the snog. Mm-hmm. Not a happy bunny. Now, Shane fails to show up at work for the second day running. So Donna and Charlotte break into his flat to look for evidence of what's going on. And they discover a receipt for a one-way ticket to Morocco. So Drake, Sergeant Drake, who's working at, what did they call it? Is it Houghton Police or something like that? He finds this out from Donna and he goes to question Jasmine. Oh, God, poor Jasmine. She basically says, like, you know what, my relationship with Shane is quite casual. But he's kind of seeing through her all. So under the pressure, she says that she thinks Shane may have been involved with the McFarlanes. And he believes her. And he tells Vaughn, who, of course, is the big cheese at the station, and he orders a full investigation. And also at Butler's, Andy and Diane discover that after receiving a text from Joe, that the farm is deserted. They free a relieved Mick, bless him, from the barn. But Andy's distressed that, of course, Sarah's not there. And he finds out that Joe's sold all the stock and fled. Ha ha! And he's convinced that she's taken Sarah with her. What's actually happened is he finds out that Sarah is safe at the Dingles. But when he goes to get her, Debbie refuses to allow him access and tells him to leave. So, because of course, remember, she is Sarah's mum. Now, I don't know the legalities of something like this, whether she can actually do that. I'm not sure. But anyway, Lisa questions Debbie as to whether or not she's going to take Sarah full time. Because Debbie's like thinking, oh God, I'm really not sure. Because, you know, if they end up going down for Shane's murder, you know, what's going to happen to Sarah? So is it best for her to actually give Sarah over to Andy overall? So a good episode then tonight in Emmerdale. Quite a few bits going on. And, of course, we're building up to the big Christmas Day storyline, which, of course, is all to do with Shane. Let's talk about EastEnders for tonight. It's heating up as well. Probably the first thing to talk about EastEnders tonight is that Jane goes to visit Tanya in prison, and Tanya is not happy with her friend. She said, I cannot believe that at the first sign of trouble, you've handed my children straight over to Max. And she says to Luke, you know what, you betrayed me. So Jane goes home feeling quite bad about everything, and she says to her mum, you know what, we are absolutely going to celebrate this Christmas as a family. I don't care what Ian says about the bar humbug and no decorations and no presents. That's what we're going to do. Now, you've got the council's Christmas party going on at R&R. And this is where Jane discovers that Masood and Zainab, Masala Masood basically, are in cahoots with Ian. She walks into the party showing a credit card statement which has an item on it, £2,000 to Masala Masood. And Masood then has to explain that Ian has come in as a partner in the business. He was desperate for a loan and Ian was his only option. Now, of course, Zainab didn't know anything about it either. So both wives kept in the dark. Jane, having none of it, throws curry all over Ian. You'll want to see that. And she said, you know what, I cannot believe that you've been telling us to cut back and you're being a real Scrooge about Christmas. All the time, though, you have been pouring money into another business. So she throws him out. She tells him, that's it, forget it, it's over, get out. And she throws him out. So interesting, eh, for that to happen to Ian Beale. Now, Phil Mitchell is, of course, it finished last night with Shirley telling Phil that Susie wasn't pregnant. And she keeps on avoiding the question. Every time he says to her, look, I've got something to speak to you about, she keeps on saying, oh, I'm going to take Ben to Oxford Street and all that kind of thing. Anyway, eventually he sits down and says to her, you know, what's going on? And he confronts her about it and says he'd been talking to Shirley. And then he pulls out a box of tampons from her bag and confronts her. She has some fast talking to do. And she turns around and says that actually she's had a miscarriage. So Phil leaves and goes to see Shirley, and he's furious and tells her that, you know, Susie actually wasn't lying. She had a miscarriage, and he says to Shirley, you know what, from now on, stay away from me. Now, Sean is involved in tonight's storyline. Jean, his mum, gives him a present, her original engagement ring. She wants Sean to sell it to buy something for Roxy and Amy. You know, he's a bit proud and all of that. Anyway, eventually he comes back and he explains to Roxy that he sold Jean's ring so that he's got enough money to put a deposit down on a flat for them. Roxy, very, very excited. Problem is, it's in Dagenham, which is not that close to Walford. Later on, Roxy tells Ronnie about the flat, and Ronnie can't understand why she would want to move. But Roxy says, you know what, it's going to help me to grow up. And that's really been what I've needed. I need to get away from here. And also, Ronnie asks Jack what his plans are for Christmas, and she asks him if he'll join her at the Vic for Christmas Day. Ooh, and he says yes. So that's you up to date with Tuesday's soaps. So we may as well go straight into Christmas Eve, because Christmas Eve is a Wednesday, and typically in a Wednesday we just have Coronation Street and Emmerdale. But because the storylines are so big at the moment, EastEnders have decided to give us an extra helping. So we've got an episode on Christmas Eve at 8 o'clock on BBC One. So much going on, but let me pick out the best bits for you. And that is that Roxy and Sean announce in the Vic that after Christmas they'll all be moving out, and they've got a flat in Dagenham, and he happily shows them the keys to the flat. Everybody's very surprised, speechless. Archie, of course, is gutted, and you'll see that earlier on. He's gutted because he thinks, how am I going to sort this out? And he proposes a toast to Roxy and Sean's new life together. Now, Aunt Sal has arrived for Christmas and is doing her best to cause her fair share of havoc. She has a little bit of a word with Peggy and says, you know what, don't like that, Archie. Something not quite right about him. Be careful, and he might break your heart. Now, Peggy looks a little bit concerned. Anyway, Susie is around, and she responds to Archie's call and comes over. He hands a piece of paper to her. It's a photocopy of the result of Amy's paternity test. Because remember, she's meant to be doing him this favour. He hasn't worked out or told her yet what it's going to be. And, of course, it shows that Sean isn't the father. And Archie wants Susie to break the news to Sean and make it as painful as possible. He is wicked, isn't he? I mean, we all kind of knew that this was coming, but it's still wicked. Now, over at the Brannings, Ian's making himself at home because, of course, Jane threw him out. And he's going through all different video cassettes of, you know, times gone by. And he's sorting through things and he sees images of all the family of, you know, his mum, Pauline, and his aunt Pauline and everybody, and Arthur and Pete and Kathy and everybody like that. And Doc goes on about how, you know, important Christmas was to his granny, and basically says, listen, I really think, you know, you should go home. Christmas is about family. But he, of course, says, well, it's a bit difficult because she's thrown me out. But she says, look, you know, you've changed. You know, you used to be quite a nice boy, but really you've changed into this horrible person, which is never nice to hear if somebody says that to you, is it? She tries to find out what's caused this change. So what Ian kind of opens up to her and chats to her about all of that. It's quite nice, actually. I quite like it when they do that kind of thing. And Ian ends up going home and walking into the Beale's house, and he sits down and he gets very emotional, and he speaks to Jane and he tells her that, you know, basically he's absolutely terrified about finances. He's worried about everything. He fears losing all his investments and disappointing his family, which means he'd have to go begging. Now, who would have thought that, eh? Where did they get that one from? So she comforts him and assures him that that isn't going to happen, that they'll pull together and everything will be fine. So Ian's taken back into the fold as such, which I suppose is quite nice. You don't really want him to be out in his ear, although he can be a nasty piece of work. See the way he treats Bianca? He's mean, isn't he? You know, getting no Christmas bonus. Now, Heather is having a torrid time at the moment. She's very sad about everything that's going on. She hasn't heard from her mum, and she thinks everybody else has got somebody and all this kind of thing. And she has a chat with Ricky, and Ricky's a bit bemused by it all, because he's like thinking, strange. And then, you know, Billy says, look, you know what? You know, there is somebody special out there for you. And she's touched by his words, completely misconstrues them, and snogs him. Heather snogs Billy. I know. And later on in the evening in the square, everybody's out and about, you know, around the Christmas tree as they do, singing the carols. One of those ones where it pans to different people. Tiffany does a solo. Masood and Zainab deliver a parcel for Heather. It turns out it's from her mum. Actually, I don't think it is from her mum at all. I think Shirley actually has done her bit and put it together for her. Ian promises to love his love to Jane. Oh, God. And Stacey asks Danielle to come home with them for Christmas. So the only thing that's going on is that Heather hands over Phil's gift to Shirley, but she still won't have anything to do with it, and she gives it away to Ricky, who just happens to be around. So it's one of these ones where it ends on the Christmas tree, everybody doing all their bits, and then the typical Christmas Eve scene. Just wait till we get to Christmas Day. So that's you up to date with EastEnders for Wednesday night. Let's tip back over to Emmerdale, and Chaz and Carl talk about their kiss, and she says, look, you know what, means nothing. You need to patch things up with Lexi. You're running away from your responsibilities, and you should fight for your future in the village. But they're interrupted by Eli and Aaron, of course, gives them the evil eye. And then in the Woolpack, Eli questions Chaz over Carl's intentions, but she says, look, nothing going on between me and him. Don't worry about it. That's it. Over at the police station, Vaughn, Big Cheese, orders Donna and Drake and Charlotte to raid Shane's flat for evidence. Now, the three of them find the drugs and money left by Eli, and they inform Vaughn. Now, Vaughn is absolutely furious when he hears all the evidence of Shane's corruption and says, right, you know what, move heaven and earth to find this guy, but keep it quiet until you have found him. And that kind of gets, Donna basically takes that back to Jasmine and says, you know what, I'm moving on after Shane, so should you. So does that mean then that Jasmine and Debbie are in the clear? It's not Christmas Day yet though, is it? And a funny little storyline going on that I find a little bit unbelievable, and that is that Rodney goes ahead with a home farm shoot behind the King's back to make extra cash. Rodney's too respectful, isn't he, to do something like that? But anyway, that'll run. I think this is maybe meant to be Emmerdale's attempt at a bit of lightheartedness for Christmas Day. Not sure about that. But it's on Christmas Eve at 7 p.m. And finally, it's Christmas Eve on Coronation Street at 7:30. And everybody's in high spirits at the factory. And Carlist tells them to go home, come back in your glad rags. It's the Underworld Christmas Bash. And Tony stays to get the party ready, finish off some last-minute wrapping for Carla. But he's surprised when he gets a visit from Jed Stone, who's a little bit worse for wear. He's had one too many brandies, and he's demanding more cash in return for his silence. Now, Tony's absolutely mad at this, and he snaps. And the negligee that he's wrapping for Carla, he decides instead of wrapping it, he's going to throttle Jed with it. So he strangles him. Mad, isn't it? Barking mad. And, you know, the guy slumps to the floor and he's like, oh my God, I've killed him. But he's like thinking, ugh, you know, these girls are going to be back quite soon. What am I going to do? So what he does is he bundles them into an empty storage hamper, you know, where normally you put the undies and stuff, and he leaves them in it. And so the next few hours, a complete nightmare, because everybody's singing, dancing, doing the conga around the hamper, unaware that there's a body in there. I mean, how he doesn't drop down dead from a heart attack, I don't know. So that's really quite amusing, actually, to see that. And you'll find out what happens with that on Christmas Day. Meantime, Rosie, it's her 18th birthday. And she's having her first, she's looking forward to her first legal drink in the Rovers. She's planned a party at home, but decides to cancel it. And she spends the evening with Gary Windass instead. Kevin, of course, and Sally come back. They're less than impressed when they return home and discover she and Gary have polished off the champagne that they were going to open to celebrate her birthday. Forget that. They'll be raging when they find out that, actually, she slept with him. Ugh! He's gross, isn't he? Ugh! And Joe, bless him, I don't know what he's about. He's not feeling very festive because he's just found out that he's been evicted from his flat. And he confides in Kevin, who says, look, you know what, tell Gail, she's a reasonable woman, just tell her what's happened. But Joe's a bit of a proud man and doesn't want to burden her with his problems. Oh, dear. I just don't get that kind of thing. You know what, I always think if something happened, no matter how difficult it is, just tell them. It's like if you've been watching Home and Away at the moment with Kirsty. Why didn't she just tell Miles, you know, about what's been going on, that she's been trying to get money together for Kane's appeal? Because, you know, otherwise the whole thing just, you know, blew up. I don't get that at all. But I suppose if we didn't have these soap storylines, we wouldn't have a soap. And Michelle kisses Steve under the mistletoe in the Rovers. Poor Becky. But Steve says to Becky, I'd much rather be kissing you. Well, do something about it then, slow coach. So there you are. You're up to date. That's your double whammy for the Daily Soap podcast. That's you for tonight, Tuesday, and also for Christmas Eve. And tomorrow on the dailygoss.com, you'll be getting the Christmas Day storylines and the Boxing Day storylines as well. And then next week, of course, we're pretty much back to normal, because we've actually got lots to talk about the following week. Some great New Year's storylines for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day on the soaps this year. So enjoy, and we will see you back here tomorrow for the Christmas Day storylines. Have yourself a good day. See ya.